Baptist Church. Glad to have you all here this morning. You know, I was just telling Phil as Kathy's playing that song. I absolutely love that song. Something about that name. And it's awesome because our worship this morning is going to be all about how great Jesus is. We all please stand as we begin to sing, Bless That Wonderful Name. Ready? It's all right. Prayer. Dear Lord God, I love your son Jesus. I thank you that you sent him to this earth and he willingly gave his life on that cross to bring us back unto you, God. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for that we can here worship you this morning, God, and I thank you for your holy word that our pastor is going to bring to us this morning, Lord. I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us. God, make us in what you want us to be. Make us fertile ground for your word to get into us. And make us what you want us to be, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Last Sunday, you gave $733.84 to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That gives us a total of $2,163.63. And we need just over $1,836 to meet our goal of $4,000. Today is the last day of the offering. In your bulletin, you have an insert listing some of the highlights of the life of Annie Armstrong. And what it doesn't say is that she was born July 11th, 1850, and that she died December 20th, 1938. So take a moment to read about her life, to see what's included in the dash between her birth and her death. If you would like to donate to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. Thank you for giving to support North American missions, and please continue to pray for our missionaries. And now we will watch a short video.
My name is David Gaskins, and I planted Mosaic Church in Provo, Utah, which is one of the most unchurched cities in North America. Because of Southern Baptists like you giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, we were able to plant a church here in this city, and we are seeing Latter-day Saints, Mormons, leaving the Mormon church and coming to a biblical faith in the true Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Christian Rowland, and this is my wife, Laura Rowland, and we're planting New Song Community Church in Langley, British Columbia, here in Canada. We have so many people here that don't know Jesus. We have people that are unreligious. We have people that don't know what to believe about Christ. And so when you give, you're helping people to hear the gospel, but also to have a place where they can call home. So thank you so much for your giving.
My name is Leo Robinson II.
And I'm Miosha Robinson.
And we planted a church here in Flint, Michigan. We are in a low-income neighborhood. And so for us to be a church plant where we're at, the Andy Armstrong offering is a blessing to us big time.
Without this type of support, there's nothing here. Really, it is everything. It is everything for us.
Hey, I'm Tyler Martin, and I planted Outfitter Church in Barnard, Wyoming. And I'm here with Trent Featherston. Trent repented and believed the gospel a couple of years ago through our church's ministry.
Had it not been for Outfitter Church, I may have never heard the gospel.
So thank you so much for leading your churches to give to the Andy Armstrong Easter Offering. Your giving is making a serious impact in North America. Thank you.
Good morning. About a year ago, I had asked the church if there was any interest in going to Israel. And I got about 23 people that attended a meeting. Since then, I had decided a couple weeks ago through prayer that I'm not going to go to Israel. And it's more for personal reasons than it was anything else. And then 3 days ago, I got this. This is from the travel agent that I've been staying in contact with. Shalom, Steve. As you have expressed interest in our Holy Land tours, we wanted to let you know that it is with the greatest of sadness that we are having to cancel the fall 2025 tour due to the continued ongoing conflict in Israel and the extreme negative effect it has on tourism. So if there's ever been a confirmation, that was it. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. If you have your bulletins, you need to... That was sad. If you have your bulletins, you need to?
Raise your bulletin.
All right. Okay, so I'm just going to highlight a couple of things tonight, youth group tonight. I thank you all for your prayers for last week as I taught. Pam's teaching tonight, I believe. But the kids endured me, so they got through it. They're still alive, all right? Also, don't forget today is the last day for the Andy Armstrong Easter offering. We can knock that out. I know we can do that. Also, look for the fun mission trip fundraiser, Mother's Day, hanging baskets, $10 each. So there's an idea for Mother's Day. And then our 2025 Mission Motorcycle Run Ride T-shirts are hanging out at the welcome desk. If you would like to order those, you read the information in here, but there's a sign-up sheet there above the water cooler. So if you want one of those shirts, you see the colors and things there. Just pick one that you would like to have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Yep.
Y'all please stand. We continue with worship this morning.
Sweet and faithful.
Time talking to somebody about Jesus, I want you just to think about the lyrics of this song. And that'll help you get through it. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all it's stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no
is the only one who can change us. Amen.
Amen.
He really is.
Above all.
You're so worthy to be lifted up. You're so worthy to be proclaimed as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You are so awesome. You are so dynamic. Lord, we love you, and we sing this praise from our hearts, from the inside out. We pray that you receive this worship that you so greatly deserve. And Lord, we as your children, we give it out of love. We present it to you in love, that you first loved us, Lord. You demonstrated love to us that we can never repay. But Lord, we ask that you receive this, Lord, as a token of our affection for you. So Lord, today as we come in worship of the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we ask also, Lord, that we give from the inside out. We give hilariously. We give joyfully. We give with content, not of a burden, not of a have to, but Lord, because you have first given us so much that we want to give back to you. Now, Lord, there may be someone in here that doesn't have a dollar to put in. So, Lord, just have them take a dollar out, because, Lord, it is for your glory, for your honor, that we, Father, want to worship you rightly and correctly. So, Lord, we ask that you bless this offering. Bless this word that is about to be preached, Lord. Lord, I pray that you take me out of it, that the people not hear my words, but they only remember your words. And, Lord, that it will grow us from the inside out. That, Lord, that from what we takes root inside of us, that we will go outside this building and live it out. Actually, we live it out inside this building too. So, Lord, just bless us so that we can turn bless you. We love you. We praise you and thank you. If I'm going to say something that's not truth, it's not right, Lord, in the name of Jesus, silence my lips and rise up the one to speak for you to this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Listen, if you think you're smelling food, you are. The cooks are all downstairs cooking, and that's because we have VBS training, Vacation Bible School training, directly after service today. It's hard to think that Vacation Bible School is only like 2 months out, right? So listen, if you've never been to Vacation Bible School here, you're going to want to come. The only way I can tell you is it's off the hook, man. It is good. It is put together very well. And it is the actual one ministry in the church that we have the most volunteers at one time. I think last year we had 73 volunteers working VBS. So it is a huge thing here. We love kids. And so if you're not attached to that, get attached, all right? You have your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Again, this is from part of last week. It's love in action. Last week, we started looking at this second section of Romans chapter 12. And I told you that the header of your Bibles may say something like love in action or behave like a Christian. And we started last week with verse 9, which said this. It said, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be, meaning let love be sincere. Let love be genuine. And we are to abhor or detest, hate what is evil and cling to be glued to what is good. And that there is to be a sincerity of love, that there's to be a sincerity of love, meaning it is to be without hypocrisy. It is to be genuine and real. But remember, the meaning of hypocrisy was to speak under the mask. Right, to speak under the mask. Meaning this is there is one thing coming out of your mouth, but behind the mask, and there is something different coming out of, right? And Paul said, that's not the kind of love that we are to have for one another here as the family of God. Instead, our love is to be without hypocrisy. It is to be sincere. It is to be genuine. And if we are struggling with that, right, verse 12 tells us to be steadfast in prayer for that person. Because listen, when you pray genuinely, when you pray sincerely, you pray for someone that you may not care for, you will get to a point where you can honestly say, I may not like this about him or her, but I can honestly say in Jesus, in Christ, I do love him or her. I just had this conversation this week with somebody. You know, in and of ourselves, it's hard for us to love certain people or forgive people. But in Christ, all things are right. And that's what this is right here. And listen, there's a world of difference in all of that. And that was last week. That was verse 9. Now let's come to verse 10. Because in verse 10, Paul's going to give you a string of verses now that speak of the demonstration of a transformed love and a fellowship of believers. Meaning this, how does love live out? How does love live out? What does it look like? What does it sound like in the fellowship of believers? How does it act, this transformed love? How does it act? Well, you come to the first thing there in the text, and it comes to this. It comes to the commitment. The commitment that is made, right? The commitment. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We'll stop right there. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. The NIV says it this way, be devoted to one another in love. The ESV says it this way, love one another with brotherly affection. Now, why do I use all these? Because you all have all of these, right? So I want to get us all on the same page. They're all saying the same thing. That's verse 10, and that's the commitment there that I'm speaking of. He says, this is what Paul says. He says, you be devoted. You be devoted. That there is this devotion that is there. That's a word. That's a word there, by the way, in the Greek that I'll come back to. I'll get back to this, all right? But he's saying, be affectionate, be devoted. Love one another with a brotherly love. Now, you know that word. You know what that brotherly love is. What is the word there for brotherly love? Anybody know it? Listen, you've all been in the Baptist church for a long time, right? Phileo, that's right. It's phileo love, right? Brotherly love, right? But now look at what he says. What he says is this. The brotherly love, and in the context here, it is referring to a family, phileo love, a brotherly love, a family love, right? It is a word in the Greek that expressed a lot when we speak of love for our children, right? Specifically, little babies, right? So here he is saying you have a family type of love. Now look at what he's saying. He says you have this family type of love, this deeply devoted love to one another in brotherly love. So what is he doing here? He's just stacking love on top of love on top of love on top of love. That's what he's doing. He's just stacking it, right? Love, 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 right? He's saying this is how we get along in the church. This is how we change our culture. This is how we change our community. This is how we change the people who are around you. This is how we change our family, right? He comes, he says, it's a demonstration of this devotion that we love each other with this brotherly love. Now, As to the love of the brothers, Paul says this. He says 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Look what he says. But concerning brotherly love, the love of, for the brothers, right? But concerning brotherly love, you have no need I should write to you. He's saying, I really don't need to be writing this to you. He says, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Paul was saying that there are certain things that happen when you come to Jesus Christ. When you come into fellowship, you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, there are just certain things that happen. It's kind of like automatic, right? Automatically you learn it. Automatically you know it. You sense it. That the Spirit of God kind of awakens it in you, right? The Spirit has become alive in you. That which is dead has now been alive, right? And one of those things just happens to be when I come to Jesus Christ, right? I'm supposed to love everybody, right? Now, what I think Paul was kind of saying here is you don't have to take a theology class to figure this out. This shouldn't be something that you should have to be taught. This is something that's going to grow in you, right? As the song said, from the inside out, it's going to grow in you through your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Listen, I don't even have to be familiar with scriptures to figure this out, right? I just simply understood when I came to Christ, when I gave my life to Christ, I've come to the place where I love everybody. Well, that's what Paul was saying, and that's what he's saying here in Romans chapter 12. And now watch, he comes, and here's the second thing, he comes to the preference. He comes to the preference, meaning this, that I not only love in that way, a committed, genuine love, but I give preference. Look at the rest of the verse, verse 10. I give preference, look, in honor, giving preference to each other. The NIV says it this way, honor one another above yourselves. The ESV says it this way, I outdo one another in showing honor, or outdo one another in showing honor, meaning I take preference to you. You become priority. I take preference to you, right? Now, my life verse is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It says, don't grow weary while doing good, especially to the household of faith. It says, do good to all, but especially to the household of faith, right? So when it comes to my love, right? So when it comes to my love, I'm transformed. My love is transformed. I'm transformed and my love is transformed so that now, look back up to verse 3 of chapter 12. I love how all this stuff is in context. It just comes together. Look what he said there. He says, Paul says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So I think less of myself and I think more of you. I honor you, right? That's the idea there. Now let me ask you this. Could anything be more opposite in the world today, in America today, than this? I don't know anything that could be more diametrically opposed than that, right? That I give preference to you over myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, and I could go off on that just so you know, but I'm not going to. I could unload right here, but I'm not going to. I give preference to you over myself. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, therefore comfort each other. Some versions say encourage. Therefore comfort each other, edify, and edify means build up, right? Edify one another just as you also are doing. Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, Paul said, you are building one another up, and that's how we demonstrate our love. How am I demonstrating my love? I'm demonstrating by building you up. I'm trying to pull you up. I'm trying to be an encourager to you. I'm trying to be somebody that's investing in you, right? Now, 1 Peter 3, verse 8, look what it says there. Sum it up, 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Some versions say be harmonious, and we're going to look at this a little later, just so you know. Some versions say be harmonious. Some say have unity of mind. Having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, right? Paul is continuously, right? He's continuously telling us how to be pouring ourselves into each other. We are to be investing in, how we are to be investing in each other, loving on each other, loving and expressing that love to each other. He said, give preference to one another. Now, that is the commitment. Now, give preference to one another. Now, there comes the third point. The third point is the expression of that, right? The expression of that preference, the expression of that preference, the expression of that commitment, action of love, to say, the attitude of my love. And listen, how this reads. I want you to pay attention how it reads in the text. This expression of my love is energetic. I want you to pick that up in there. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. Look, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, verse 12 speaks to me, right? Right? It's an individual thing, right? It speaks to me. Verse 12 is an outpouring of what you do in verse 11, right? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, look back up to 11, right? It says, not lagging in diligence. Now, I'm going to save that to last, just so you know, right? I'm going to save that. But he's saying in diligence, so that's my attitude. That word there, diligence, is explaining my attitude and how I'm demonstrating towards you, right? It's how I portray myself, right? It's my attitude. It means earnestness. It means speed. It means eagerness. With an eagerness, I'm doing this. I'm excited about doing it, right? Some of us just went up to Sight and Sound. And some people were very eager. What they were looking forward to it. They were eager about getting there, about being a part of that, right? With diligence, with an earnestness. I'm doing it quickly. That's my attitude. I can't put it on a back burner. I can't wait and just, well, maybe something will come along. No, I'm going out and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking in ways to find it. I'm doing it quickly. That's my attitude. Now, here's the action. Fervent in prayer. Fervent in spirit, I should say. Fervent in spirit. Now, the word fervent means to bring something to a boil. Like bringing a pan of water to a boil. It speaks of how hot it is. Passion. It's speaking of passion. Do it with passion. Do it with earnestness, right? Well, what do we do? How do we do? What do we do? How do we get this earnestness? What do we do? Notice what it says, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Now, the word there for servant references a bondservant. It's a bondservant. That is a person who could not pay their debts. And so that person becomes a servant to the guy that he owed the money to, right? Did we all have a debt that we could not pay? Right? But that's kind of what this is talking about, a person that could not pay their debt, so that person become a servant, right? He becomes a servant to the guy that he owed money to. And so you could only do that for 7 years. That's how long you could borrow that money, for 7 years, or up to the seventh year. And then you were set free without having to pay anything for your freedom. However, if a person was set free, it came up to the time limit, it was on there, and that person was free to go, the master comes and says, you're free to go, you're set free, you're free. But that person was set free and really didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave where they were for whatever reason, right? For example, maybe if they had fallen in love with the master or with the master's daughter, or they just wanted to stay there. They had it really good, and so the family was really nice to them, so they wanted to be a part of the family in this Jewish home, right? They just had it good, right? Well, what would happen is that slave who wished to remain in their master's service permanently, rather than being released after 6 years, that they would have their ear pierced with an awl. What's an awl? Not an awl. Not that kind of an awl. What does that look like, Matt? Looks like a toothpick, but it's usually made out of, nowadays it's steel, right? It's made of steel and it's very sharp pointed, right? And they come in various lengths, right? So they would pierce their ear with an awl as a tool that they used in that day, usually to pierce leather. But they would take that slave over to the doorpost and they line them up on the doorpost and put their ear up there. You notice I didn't slam the thing because my watch would go off. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have my watch on today. But they would take them up that doorpost and they put their ear burn and that would signify their lifelong commitment in voluntary servitude. And that would say this: I'm a bondservant, but I choose to stay. And that would become a testimony of the goodness of their master, right? That was a testimony of the goodness of their master. It would become a testimony of the goodness of the family that they were with. And so he comes and he says this: in diligence, in haste, in earnestness, with passion and spirit, I am serving. I'm serving, right? And that's what he's saying. I got this attitude. I got this within inside of me, and I'm serving. So who am I serving? It's in there. Yes? I'm serving one another, those in the fellowship. I'm serving you. But especially, he begins with what? Who am I serving? I'm serving those who are not lagging behind are serving, right? To serve, who are we to serve? Those who are not lagging behind, who are we to serve? We just serve those who are lagging behind. The strong serve the weak. That I am earnestly, fervently, with a passion, seeking to serve them by pulling them up into the body, into the family, where they should be, where their rightful place is. Now, I want to give you a picture of this, okay? I want to give you a picture. Remember the book of Exodus and how all the tribes moved through, right, in Exodus, right? They all traveling, they all moved through. Now, do you remember who was the last tribe in all the tribes, the one in the back? Do anybody remember who that was? The tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan was the rear guard. That's what they were called, the rear guard. And what they would do is they would catch every older person. John's not here, like John. He's watching back there in the security room, so I know he's giving me one of those. But what it would do, they would catch every older person who was too slow to walk fast with the rest. There he is, I told you. He was too slow to walk fast with the rest. Or maybe they were handicapped. Maybe they had a handicap or some kind of a disability. Or maybe they were really, really young. Or maybe it was somebody who was sick, people who couldn't keep up. Well, Dan, the tribe of Dan, stayed back there to protect them. That was their job. They were the catch-all, right? They stayed back there so that they could catch all these people and protect them. But you know what they also did? They also kept hurting them to get back up with the rest. They would take care of them. They would love on them, and they would help them. But then they would encourage them, go on, go on, go on. You can get back up in there. Get on up there. You do what the rest is doing. Likewise, that's what we are to do with each other. Do you all understand that? That's what we are to do with each other. When somebody in here who has a hard time keeping up with others, do we know? Listen, you're all thinking of somebody right now. Do we have somebody in here that has a hard time keeping up with others? Our job is not to shut them out. Our job is to act like they are not there and they don't exist. Our job is not to do that. Our job is to pull them up. Our job is to love them earnestly, passionately. We are to love them. We're to pull them up with us, right? God's word says that is part of our service. It's a demonstration of our love. That's what we are to do with each other. That's how we're to respond with each other. That's what we're supposed to be like. Or how about this? Somebody not here today? Now listen, I know there's some people downstairs today. I get that. But is there somebody here that you know that's not here today? That you recognize that they're not here? You're looking around and you say, well, they're not here? Then listen, how do I put this in action? How do I do this love? Don't let this week go by that you don't call and check on them. Make sure they're okay. You're not there to run them down. What'd you miss church for? That's not how you start that. Hey, missed you today. Are you okay? Is everything all right? Encourage them to be back in church. Encourage them in the faith, right? Be encouragers, right? Encourage them to be in the Word of God, right? Just tell them you love them. If nothing else, tell them you love them. Hey, I missed you. I know it's hard for some people to say, I love you. I miss you. I noticed you weren't there today. I love you. I miss you. I look forward to seeing you this coming week. Is there anything I can do for you? And when you ask that, mean it. Don't get caught off guard if they say, oh, yes, by the way. Oh, well, wait a minute. Is there anything I can do for you? And what's that? That's being sincere. You ask that in sincerity. You need to be serious about that. And so that's what we do inside the family. We help each other out and we hold each other accountable. We help spur one another on, right? We want to bring them back up. We want to pull them back up. That's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10. He says in verse 25, look what he says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? That's the second coming of Christ, right? And it's definitely getting closer, amen? Every breath we take, it's getting closer. Whoa, what a day, right? Therefore, we should be looking to encourage and bringing those that are straggling, those that are behind, those that are close to dropping out, we need to be spurring them on. We need to be to encourage them. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not complaining here. Trust me, I am not complaining here. I cannot do that with everybody in here. You know why? Because there's many of you, and sometimes I'll miss a person for one, right? But I can't do that with you. If I don't have you, I need you to help me out. I need you to help me with this. I can't do it all by myself. I'm going to stand here until somebody says, amen, preacher. That's you, the church. You, the church. I need your help. We are together in this. This is not a me show. This is a we show. All right? I can't do it. So it's our responsibility. It's a we responsibility. Listen, as your pastor, I definitely need to lead by example, amen? Amen? You all amen that, right? I need to lead by example. But the truth of the matter is this, my job is not to do all the work. My job is not that. I know what you pay me and what you expect, and I need to be the example. But what is my job according to Scripture? What is my job? To shepherd you and to do what? Equip the saints. To do what? To serve. I need your help. I can do it, and I do it. I try to do it to the best of my ability. But listen, do you notice somebody that's not here? Call, encourage them. Let them know that they were missed. Listen, Paul comes and he's going to do this, right? He's going to do this. I want you to look at this last thing, and it's number four. I want you to look at the care. If we don't care, then none of it matters. I want you to look at the care that we give, right? Remember, as believers, we all have individual gifts. Now, I'm going to bring it full circle here. As believers, we all have individual gifts from God so that we can serve and care for His church and the gospel, right? It's what Scripture told us, how we started this out a couple of weeks ago, right? We all individually have gifts that we come to the body and we bring them together and we function together as one body. When we all put these gifts, we will be highly effective, right? So Paul makes two statements, and it's basically to those on the inside and to those on the outside. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Inside, right? Distributing to the needs of the saints. You remember what is said in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, when it says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as everyone had need." Sometimes when we read that verse, we say, "I'm not giving it up. I actually have had some people say, that sounds like communism." Not on your life is that communism. Do you want to know why? Because in the book of Acts, it was voluntary. You did it voluntarily, did that. There was no dictator standing over the church making everybody give up everything they had. But it was the Spirit of God moving on the inside. It was the Spirit of God moving in the hearts to say, "I've got a little extra, so here, I can help you. I've got something I can do for you in this area. Here, I can help you. I've got something that may be a benefit to you. I can be a blessing to you. Here, you can have this." You know, several occasions I have people, this is not once in a while, this is quite common, I have people come to me on the side and they'll have this little envelope in their hand and they'll say, "Pastor, I want you to give this to so-and-so," but they're not to know where it came from. And I'll go up to so-and-so and I'll say, "Hey, so-and-so, you get your necklace fixed? Ooh, hey, so-and-so, I was told to give that to you." And you're going to say, "I don't know." "Well, that's a lie. I do know, but they don't want to be known." So you keep that, all right? Find somebody you can pray for and write it down on there. Listen, so I got something I can give you. And that, and I can say I'm happy about it. But I also can remember there was a time in this church when there was a couple in this church that their car went down. The only car they had, their car went down, and it could not be fixed. I mean, it wasn't worth fixing, but it couldn't be fixed. And somebody in this church came to the pastor. I wasn't the pastor. I was here, but I wasn't the pastor. Came to the pastor and said, "Here, I never use this car anyways. Give this to them." They didn't want to be known. And they gave him a car. That's what he's saying. I have extra. And I know that you have that same need. What I have extra of, you have a need of. That's the text. Is that we are looking for ways to help one another, contributing to the needs of the saints. The truth is, there should not be anybody within the family of God that has a great need that we can't in some way help a little. There is no way that there should be that great a need in the body of Christ that we in some way can't help a little. Now, listen to me very carefully. We can't take over everybody's house payment. We can't take over everybody's car payment and everybody's utility payments every month. We might be able to help you out here or there, but we can't take on your monthly bills as a continuing thing forever. Listen, we can't do that. But if you've got a legitimate need, you need some groceries that we need to be able to come alongside of and help you with some of that. And I'm proud to say that this church is really pretty good at that. Actually, this church is really excellent at that. If I tell you somebody in this church has a need and we take it up, it doesn't take 7 weeks to take up $4,000. It comes on a spur of a moment. And I'm proud of this church for that. This church is really good at it. But honestly, what I'm trying to say, the government shouldn't have anything to do with this body. It should be the church doing these kind of things. And let me let you in on something. If you give in this way, the way that the scripture is telling us to be that way, if you give in this way, God will give back his blessings to you. And there are... Listen, God will give back his blessings to you. And I'm going to tell you this. There's a few in this church that know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not going to outgive God. It will not happen. If you're giving in a heart that is motivated in this way, in the name of Jesus, right? You're not going to outgive him. So here's the second thing about the care. It's practicing hospitality. Now that's going out and just seeing, who can I be hospitable to? Right? Who can I go to the outside of the body of Christ and open my heart and open my arms and open my home and I can just show them the love of Christ? For example, like, let me give you some personal examples. These are just things that I know off the top of my head. For me personally, you think I come up real quick, wouldn't you? How about my neighbor whose wife died this last year and has no children, and so he never asked us to take him meals. We just do. Why? Because we happen to know that he doesn't cook. Right? So we take him, we just take him over. We don't ask, we just go. I'll text and say, hey, we're going to bring you dinner tonight. I'm not saying, do you want us to bring you dinner? I say, we are bringing you dinner tonight. And so we go. How about this? Buying coffee for a truck driver. Steve and I went to Nashville, right? And we come back and we're at this thing, and this guy couldn't even speak English, right? And he's up there and he got this big cup of coffee. It's like this big. It's a truck driver mug, you know. It's like this big, and he fills this thing up, right? And he goes up, and he's in front of me, and he wanted to use his rewards. And the lady says, you don't have any rewards. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And so she checked again. She says, no, you have no rewards. And she goes, you're going to have to pay for it. And he says, oh, I got to go to my truck and see if I have money. And he left his cup there, and he walked away. And he got about from me to Matt, and I said, sir, come here. He says, what? I said, come here. And I paid for it, and I don't know if he understood me or not. He says, what? And I said, I paid for it. In the name of Jesus, have this gift. And he looked, and I handed him the cup, and I said, he goes, I don't know if he understand. He might have thought I was speaking in tongues. I don't know. But listen, here's what I know. At that moment, I was being kind. And I gave who the credit for it? Yeah, I'm not telling you for me to get credit for it. How about paying for an order for somebody in front of you at Kroger's where it's a little more costly? Have you ever done that? You know what bites about that? Is when the Lord's telling you to do it and you know it's the Lord. And you know if you don't, you're going to go out of there and you're going to be convicted over it, right? And you'll remember it for a long time. Listen, how do we do this as a church, as a congregation? Well, I personally believe the community breakfast is a very good example of this for this church. There are people who have nothing to offer us. They have nothing to offer us, and we spend a great deal of money providing that breakfast, and everyone there is treated with respect. And we have a good amount of people who give up their valuable time to serve it. And you know how they serve that? You know how they spend their valuable time serving it? With joy. They don't show up there. They come and say, what can I do? What do I need? What do you need? You know, I mean, you get bombarded when people walk in there. What do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? What is it that you need done, right? So they give up their valuable time. They do it with joy. And you know what else they expect when they get there and do that? You know what they expect, what everybody expects? Nothing. They don't expect anything. One lady told Donna once, she said to Donna, she goes, you have no idea what this means to my family. And she continues to say, I can never do anything for my kids. We can never go out to eat. She has 4 older teen kids. I have 6 teen kids, 7, 8 teen kids every night for family night. You know what it would cost me to take them out to eat? Yeah, right? Especially if they know I'm buying. She has four older teen kids whose husband, her husband left her and the kids a while ago, some time ago. And she has been on her own raising and trying to provide for them. And she said to Donna, she said, this means so much to me to be able to bring my kids out to breakfast and they can order whatever they want. Another example is Embrace Grace Group, right? A new ministry for us here at Open Door where we are opening our hearts and our arms for these unwed mothers in a society that might otherwise shun them or a society that would tell them, you know what, you'd be better off just to get an abortion. It'll be easier for you if you do that. But we open up our hearts and we try to encourage them, right? Also, the mission trips that we do, right? I mean, I could just go on, right? In fact, we're going on a mission trip this Friday and Saturday, so pray for us, right? We're going to Charleston and put a roof on a parsonage, right? So pray for us that Matt doesn't put me on a roof. But do you understand what I'm trying to say here? We go out to this world with the care. We go out to this world with the care that we have inside here, and inside here, but inside here for one another first. And we show our hospitality to those outside. Why? Why do we do that? Because we pray and hope that we get the opportunity to share Jesus Christ. That we get the opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. They don't know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Listen. At our very core, people want to be loved. Amen? Now, the whole section of Scripture began by talking about the different gifts that we have and how we all got our gifts to use to what God has called us to do and how we all got these gifts and how we're to use them, right? We're to use them in the body. So if you're not using your gift in this manner, my question to you is why not? Why are you not using the gift that God gave you? You are needed. That's what this text is saying. You are needed. You are needed by God to complete His work, to make this church complete, to make His work complete. His church has to be complete, to make God's work a great success. We all have to use our gifts. Now, I'm going to show you an illustration. I've got some musicians coming up right now. You can't see them yet, but they're coming up right now. These musicians coming up, and I want to show you something. This is really a picture of the church working together. It's a picture of you, and it's a picture of me. It's a picture of all of us together and what we can do together when we all do our part. I got to do my part. You got to do your 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 part. You got to do. When we all come together using all these parts, right? And seeing what God intends for this church to be, because there are very gifted individuals. These are very gifted individuals, just as you are as a believer. Now, you all know Mike, right? So, Mike, you're on watch. They all have the same music, right? They all have the same notes. They all got to be in the same timing. No pressure, brother. We look at it, and it's just a bunch of Japanese or Chinese written on a piece of paper. But each one up here uses those notes in a different way to bring to completion a beautiful thing. They're going to watch. Kevin using his gift. sharing his gift with Kevin. Phil using his gift with Kevin and Willie. Kathy using her gift with Phil, Kevin, and Willie. That's how the church works. Just the same idea right there. By using our individual gifts together to what? For the glory of God. That's why they do what they do. That's why we do what we do. Right? The same God to bring to completion for the cause of Jesus Christ. Are you using your gift? Well, I bet when you do, you'll see the beauty of it all, just like you did here. That because of the commitment we make to love one another and the preference we show to one another together and the expression of that is shown in the care that we have for one another, that we care. The care will come flowing out of our communities. Will come flowing out outside to the world, right? It'll come out of us from the inside. It'll come outward. That it will become harmonious as you will hear these singers come together. And they'll bring this harmonious work. It's music to God's ears when the church does this. It's just absolutely music. And that, my friends, is all of us using our individual gifts and the love that we have for each other first is that what will show the outside world out there, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. They're looking at him through us. Do you understand that he loves you? He loves you. And he can see that through us who call ourselves Christians first. Stand. Open door. This morning, if you are struggling with feelings of love for your brothers or sisters in Christ, then the altar is open. This is your time. This is your moment to begin now to pray for that person. And you say, well, if I come up here to pray, people are going to say, who am I praying for? It doesn't matter who you're praying for. It's the matter that you're doing what God wants you to do. This is your time. Don't pray that God change them. Pray that God change you. That's why you pray and ask God to change your heart and change your mind and allow you to love with a preference toward that person as Christ loves you. As Christ loves you, would you love them? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if there's never been a time you have prayed and asked Jesus to take over your life and save you, then this morning I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. I want to love you. I love you. I want to get to know you, but I want to tell you, Jesus does know you and he loves you. You say, Pastor, but you don't know. I don't need to know. Jesus knows. And he says, come. Come. He desires a relationship with you, and so does this church. So as the music plays, you come. Father God, I ask you to do what only you can do. I can't do it. So I ask you, Father, to move. Move mightily. Let your Holy Spirit move powerfully, Lord. Change the hearts, Father, of all of your people, Father God, that we will be what you intend for us to be as a church, that we would bring glory and honor, that you would look with us with a smile on your face and say, these are who I am well pleased with. Lord, let that be open door. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Amen. You come. The altar's open. to God, right? Amen, right? Listen, as you depart this place, first of all, if you're a VBS, you need to go downstairs, okay? Where lunch is. The rest of you, you're on your own. I mean, you got to get involved in VBS. That's all I got to tell you, right? No, listen, go out of here today. Remember, if you didn't see somebody, give them a call. Tell them, just check on them. Just check on them. But when you go out of here today, put that love into action. Not like John and Paula did on the road to, that's next week's sermon. There's going to be an illustration in next week's sermon. That's all I got to say. Just go love. Just go out of, go love somebody. You're dismissed. Love you guys.
Holy, holy.